Blog Talk Radio.
One of you, and this has been an incredible year, a lot of developments, a lot of growth, a lot of information, education, and knowledge being passed back and forth. And again, this is Black Free Thinkers, and we are here to challenge you to think and live for yourself, not convert you. We're just trying to pass along some information and some knowledge and education to each one of you, and hey, you know, we're just hoping that you're learning and you're growing. Again, we challenge you guys to think, and part of that is by researching, you know, what we say, anything and everything that, you know, we say on the show and we pass along to you. We encourage you to look it up and prove us wrong. Prove us wrong. And, you know, again, much respect, much respect. And I am here today. I see we have Nakomi and William on the line. Hey, everybody.
Well, why are you doing that?
How you doing, Kenny?
Walk by sight to see what makes your whole day glow, because faith is believing what you know ain't so.
You gotta love William. He always coming with it, right?
Okay, bringing out his rhymes today. Say that again. We like that.
Again, yeah. It's one I wrote it at the end of a verse. I thought I might want to make it a hook. I was like, we walk by sight to see what makes your whole day glow, because faith is believing what you know ain't so. Yeah, I figure why not throw Twain in there.
I really like that. I really, really do like that. Might have to get that on the shirt.
Exactly, exactly. I am liking that big time. I see we have a lot of people in the room. Hey, thank all of you guys. I thank everybody that listens to the archives, everyone who listens via the live stream here, everyone in the chat room, much, much love. You know, we have such a diverse group of people that listen to the show, that interact with us. You know, I appreciate you guys. And this is the end of the year. This year went by pretty fast. Well, and I love you back, Rob. I love all of you guys. You know, this year went by fast, guys. What, you know, for each one of you, you know, oh, and I see Mario's with us now. For, hey, Mario.
What's up?
Guys,
hi, Mario.
Hey. How y'all doing?
Good. What do you think is the biggest lesson, you know, that you learned this year about yourself?
That's a good one.
That is a really good one.
That I like running my mouth?
For me personally, picking my battles in certain arguments and not wasting unnecessary time with certain people in certain conversations. Not for just, you know, their benefit, but my own. You know, sometimes it's just not even worth talking to certain people. You know, I actually enjoy conversations where, you know, there's respect and something to learn from the conversation. But what I find is that sometimes people are not always as open-minded as they think they are, including myself at times. So just kind of taking a breather and taking a back seat on certain conversations and certain dialogue and being a little bit more mindful of who I talk to and what I talk to them about, because I realize just speaking with certain people, it's like talking to a brick wall. So that's not really good for my energy, and I just, you know, I like to have, you know, more humble type of conversations as opposed to arguing with folks. So that's what I've learned. Excellent.
Let me see. So, something I learned about me. Like, I know I like talking. Like, I like, I do all these shows, and then I make my own account and start running my mouth. Like, I did a, you know how you do the Black Free Thinkers Praxis newspaper? I started just reading off that newspaper. I'm doing a show off of that now, like, just so I can just run my mouth. I guess I like talking a lot. I could probably be, I could be more sensitive. I know that not just from a, old news, recent news, or but also just from interacting with people at work. I'm really mean. I gotta work on that.
Too funny. Why mean, William? Why do you think it comes off mean?
Why I think I come across mean, or why I am mean?
Why do you consider yourself to be mean?
I think, but just by comparing myself to other people, I'm like, geez, how can they be so damn sunny and nice and always know the right thing to say when, like, I mean, you guys probably heard me say bad haircut 50 times this year, because I immediately see something wrong and I want to say something. I gotta think of, I don't know, you got on a nice pair of shoes or something. Think of some more compliments. Be a friendly guy. Or like, even with workers, because, you know, you have staff, they need reasons to call out, they have their own personal problems, and I'm like, that's your problem, chief, and that's terrible. I can't be that person.
You know, I knew somebody who was like that. When I was driving for this one company, we had to call to let the dispatcher know we were driving before 5 a.m., especially if we were headed down to the D.C. to pick up our trailer. And so I would call in. I'd get up about 3:30, 4 o'clock to get ready and start driving. And I call in, and you know, the sun has not come up. It's still dark outside. And everything. And I would call this guy, and I'm like, hey, just letting you know, I'm on my way down there to pick up my trailer. Okay, Mario, just come on down here, buddy. I got it all ready for you. I got some coffee with some hazelnut cream down here. Help yourself. I even got some donuts here. You might like some of those. I got a lot of different kinds. Some with sprinkles, buddy. Just come on down here. I got all your paperwork ready, and we'll be waiting for you, okay? And I'm thinking, I'm still pissed off for another 3-4 hours after getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning. What the hell are you on, man? You know?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, like, how are they so chipper? I don't get it. Like, how do they get it? And it's not like I'm not mad, I'm not sad or having a bad day. I'm not interested in your feelings when I get into the workplace and I want to get into that office and start pumping out the paperwork. I don't care that you feel bad that a puppy died. Get out of my face. And I could be better than that because I sit up here and I talk empathy with Cuff Your Feelings in the chat room. I talk empathy with him and I need to practice it more.
There you go. And I'm one of those morning people, so I'm one of those people that definitely would get on all of your nerves. But you know, it's okay. Now catch me at night. There's no telling what may come out of my mouth. But Mario, what did you learn about yourself this year, dear?
I learned that I don't know if it's my cynicism or what, but I really can. When I call myself trying to make a decision, I weigh more of the negative aspects of the decision than I do the positive, to the point where I'll actually talk myself out of something that I probably should have done. And I'm really learning that I need to be a lot more open-minded. And at 2013, and, you know, we always say this at the end of every year, that we're going to do something different at the beginning of next year and everything. But I really think that what I learned is I really need to get serious about a lot of things I have in my mind that I want to do, that I want to achieve and everything like that, and that I've been procrastinating a little bit too much.
Very good. Very good. And I must say what I learned this year, I'm human. Everybody else is human too. We make mistakes. We all have the ability to evolve and change and grow, but, you know, at least for me, the latest lesson that I've learned is, you know, we've been talking that talk, now it's time for me to walk that walk, and it's going to be difficult, but I'm going to be able to do it, and just let all of you guys know how much I do and truly love each and one of you. So there it is, and let's move on.
Yeah, right on.
Oh, I see we have Judy on the line. Judy, hold on, I think I got you here, honey. Hey, Judy.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hola.
Hola.
What have you learned about yourself this year, Judy?
I learned how to be a bit more understanding of people who are different from me.
There's a whole community of us out there. So, yeah, it's about time you catch up.
Yeah. I also learned that everyone is just as insane as I am.
Well, yeah, that too. Right. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. It lets us know we're all individuals, and you know, while there's individuality out there, I do appreciate and celebrate individuality. I also celebrate and advocate collectivism as well. So, you know, we can't forget that, you know, there are times when we'll have to we will have to work as a group. We will have to work as a group. So, that good fun stuff, it's been a really interesting year. This past week, some interesting developments. You know, some things that I haven't addressed. And more than likely, I probably won't address. But, again, you know, there's been some tragedies. And definitely our heart goes out across the country to everybody who has lost a child, to everybody who has lost, you know, a parent or a brother or a sister or a cousin or a dear friend or spouse, you know, to everyone who lost their lives and lost their battles, whether through violence, you know, illness or what have you. You know, our hearts and our thoughts definitely go out to each and every last one of them and their family members. And, you know, there are some issues that need to be brought to the table.
in this country. You know, we need to talk about domestic violence. We need to talk about violence. We need to talk about, you know, a number of different issues. And, you know, unfortunately, we have these incidents, and then people want to bring it to the table. But in America, it just seems as though people have the attention span of a gnat, because this is not the first tragedy that we've seen. You know, these tragedies have been happening all along. But, you know, not only with these mass shootings, you know, there are some people that have to walk through damn near a war zone to get to the bus stop for some of these babies to get to school. We need to talk about it all. We need to talk about it all. And that's my whole thing. It's been interesting. And, you know, someone says, take away their guns, shove them up their ass, and pull the trigger. Well, you know, that's an interesting way to resolve the issue there. And another person in the room said everybody or everyone enjoyed talking about not enough prayer in school. Well, what about the prayer in the churches? You know, the prayer in the churches didn't protect those babies from being molested. It didn't protect the people from being victimized. It didn't protect, you know, the congregation from being taken advantage of. You know, so, you know, if prayer isn't working in church, why would we believe that it worked in school?
A lot of people in the South have this mentality. If only the teachers in that school were carrying the guns, they could have shot the gunmen. Everyone thinks that if everyone is armed, then nobody dies.
Well, yeah, that's not necessarily true. They wouldn't be saying that same thing if one of the teachers got ticked off and took the gun out and shot their unruly child. But go ahead, who's about to say something next?
I really think it's a trip when people say that, because I saw the same thing being said after the Batman shootings. I'm like, okay, so you're saying that what prevented this was if ordinary citizens had been allowed to have weapons. Okay, you got a darkened theater. It's very noisy, it's crowded, and he threw a smoke bomb in there. You look up and see somebody is shooting. How do you know that that guy isn't in cahoots with the other guy that's shooting? So then you got a bunch of disoriented people firing off rounds at each other, and nobody knows who they're really shooting at. And so, I mean, that's your plan. That's your solution to the whole thing. I don't think, first of all, my problem is I don't see why the average citizen, all right, this is, the country is not in a state of civil war or anything like that. We're not in martial law. I don't see why the average citizen needs to have high-powered, semi-automatic or fully automatic weaponry. You know, some of this stuff, you know, comes with infrared scopes and stuff like that. Where do you live that requires you to have that kind of firepower? Or do you just attract the wrong people? Because that just speaks to volumes about your mentality to me. And, you know, and I think that, you know, our society is driven by what we're told and what we're shown, especially on the news. The news that is going to get the front, going to get the lead opening, is the one that's going to really capture more people and bring in more audience, and more people are going to watch this and stuff like that. And, it's unfortunate that so many other things do go lacking. The average person getting killed, you know what I'm saying, is pretty much a non-event. You'll see something like on the front page in which such and such sex scandal has been, you know, such and such is a sex scandal. If it is on the front page, this guy who you don't know getting killed by a random shooter has a really small 3-4 inch little snippet that says, hey, this dude got killed. Okay, let's move on to the next thing. And I think it's impossible to direct attention to every tragedy that goes on, but we really do need to focus on not just our story in America. I think we really need to show what's happening in the world, especially when we're the cause of a lot of that shit, too.
Right, and, you know, that's the interesting thing, because many Americans just their perspectives tend to be somewhat myopic. That's the reason why I encourage people to read newspapers and periodicals from other countries. That way you kind of get a different perspective as to what's happening. And, you know, we have to remember you know, some of these people have never been out of their little cities, let alone their states, you know, let alone out of this country. And, you know, I truly believe that if people were a little bit more well-traveled or took the time out to get to know people from other cultures, even if it's in their own city, you know, mm-hmm. go to the other side of town and get to know some people. I believe that it would give them, you know, better opportunity to understand different cultures and what some other people go through. But it's just something that's interesting. And, you know, if people had to go through the same type of, I'll just say red tape to get guns, you know, basically being forced to learn how to shoot them, how to clean them appropriately, you know, again, the purchasing process, you know, going through the background check, fingerprinting, all of that, you know, my play dad owns a pawn shop, so we used to sell weaponry. So, I mean, I understand, you know, all the paperwork that goes through with it, but, you know, there are some things that, you know, it was interesting. I remember one time refusing to sign a paperwork to sell a gun to this one guy. And, I mean, the guy, I believe he was legally blind. I mean, his glasses were extremely thick, which is fine, because he needed that to see, but he was putting the paperwork directly up to his glasses to be able to read it, and I'm like, and you want me to sell you a gun? And so, you know, I looked at my play dad, and I'm like, I refuse. I absolutely refuse to sign that paperwork. My name will not be on that. So someone else sold it to him, but it's just interesting. But he passed the background check. You know, we sent it to the state courts, and then there's a 72-hour wait. And then after 72 hours, they were able to come back and pick up their weapon. And so, you know, it's interesting how that works. Go ahead.
Hey, it's a trip that you have the 72-hour wait because, you know, I guess that's to dissuade the people who really, really, really need to kill somebody now. And I just always thought that was kind of hilarious. But, damn, I lost my train of thought on that other one.
Well, now I know we want to get on with the Christmas and put our jingle bells on and get into some good old fashioned paganism. But you know, with that prayer business on the guns and all that, to prayer in general, you know, after 2,000 years, it's proved to be a fairly insufficient way of functioning prayer, or what they call prayer. I mean, does it really exist? I mean, frankly, we all joke about it being something like you're just talking to yourself, but now we got a bunch of dead children. Can we kind of say that it's not really a joke anymore and you are just talking to yourself and not doing something? And with the guys that feel like they need a 50 gazillion caliber magnitude of weaponry in their house, why aren't you more concerned in living in a world where you don't need to be protected but from members of your own species with that? Like, why not move towards a society where you're not worried about somebody busting in your house in a way of which you actually need a weapon like that if you really do believe you need that weapon?
Exactly.
Well, I think that God talk really blocks trying to look for a solution, because if God is handling it and if it was God's will, why bother look for a solution to the problem? Even Michael Moore kind of pointed out in his movie Fahrenheit 911 that people in other countries where they take care of their citizens, you know, they can get mental health, physical health, and any benefit from the government to keep people from completely going over the edge. And in Canada, they have just as much guns as we do here, but the violence is less up there, but they also have a national health system. If they need mental help, they can get it. And people don't feel like they have to be all out for themselves.
Exactly. You know, exactly. If you all want a good indication of, you know, whether it's good or bad, it's relative. But look at Japan and look at how they've outlawed guns, and look at also how they pretty much have eradicated poverty. So just take a look at that country over there, and there are several others, but I just wanted to give one as an example and to encourage you guys to go out and do some research. And moving on, we're going to talk about Christmas, or Kuma, and as they say in Georgia, Kuma. And
long live Saturnalia.
Yeah, exactly. You know, all right now, Sheldon Cooper. And different soul and pagan holidays and the so-called war on Christmas. And, you know, the whole thing, like I said, you know, is really interesting. You know, the whole controversy about the war on Christmas and especially the way, you know, the conservatives bring it across, you know, our little friends over there on Fox News. And, you know, it's just interesting. But, you know, just to kind of let you know, for the first 3 centuries of the church, Christmas was not in December and it wasn't on the calendar at all. It was never on the calendar. And
right.
We all know how they took or stole or borrowed or duplicated or, as they say, they made better these holidays from pagan religions and pagan and Wiccan societies and, you know, all of that. And it's just interesting how all of that, you know, came about. Yes, yeah, so we have Deborah back on the line with us here. And it's just the whole thing, like I said, it's interesting how all of this came about. But, again, the word is called origin. O-R-I-G-E-N, okay? Origin, O-R-I-G-E-N. And this was from 185 to 254. And basically, during that time frame, basically, they felt that it would be wrong to honor Christ in the same way that Pharaoh and Herod were honored. And birthdays were for pagan gods. And so, you know, it's interesting because Christ's birth was usually lumped in with the Epiphany, which is celebrated on January the 6th. And that happens to be one of the church's earliest established feasts. So I definitely want you guys to go and look up Origen, O-R-I-G-E-N, and again, it goes from 185 to 254. And, you know, it's just interesting. You know, there are a bunch of people, you know, if you go and you look that up, it shows that, you know, the date of December 25th, was basically made as early as the year 273. And it talks about how, you know, December 25th hosted 2 other festivals. So, you know, the Natalis Solis Invicti, which is the Roman birth of the unconquered sun, and the birthday of Mithras, the Iranian son of righteousness, whose worship was popular with Roman soldiers. So, again, we've talked about Mithras in the past, too, and how he was born on December 25th, and, you know, he had 12 disciples and all. Look this up, guys. Look it up. We are not making this up. As far as Western Christians are concerned, they first started celebrating Christmas on December 25th in 336, and that was after Constantine had declared Christianity the empire's favorite religion. All right, someone needs to turn the volume down on their computer or something there, because I'm getting feedback. But basically, again, Constantine had declared Christianity the empire's favorite religion, and Eastern churches, they held on to January 6th as the date for Christ's birthday and his baptism. So eventually, you know, it says they adopted the 25th, but I want you guys to go out and take a look. And if you go and you look, you know anybody that's Armenian, ask them when they celebrate Christ's birthday, which is interesting. And some Western churches still do celebrate the Epiphany on January 6th, but they basically they celebrate it as the arrival date of the Magi, you know, rather than the date of Christ's baptism. So, you know, it was interesting. And again, you know, doing the research, they say that in the 16th century, Pope Gregory devised a new calendar, and it wasn't necessarily adopted by everyone. It was, you know, adopted unevenly there. but the Eastern Orthodox and some Protestants retained the Julian calendar, in which they meant celebrated Christ 13 days later than their Gregorian counterparts. But most, and not all, of the Christian world now agrees with the Gregorian calendar and the date of 25th of December. So, you know, to look at that, take a look at the, you know, again, the origins of it. For many pagans, they talk about the Roman Saturnalia, which is gift-giving and merrymaking. You have greenery, life, charity, all from the Roman New Year. You have Yule laws and various foods from the Teutonic feast. And, you know, it's just interesting, you know, but basically one of the quotes I have here, it says, it's just paganism wrapped with a Christian bow. And so, you know, it's interesting, but, you know, just take a look, you know, in the Bible, in the scriptures, you know, Paul says that, you know, Christians are to be all things to everyone. And that's exactly what they did. They took these holidays and they saw that, you know, the pagans were celebrating certain holidays. And in order to attract those people into Christianity, they started adopting these different holidays without understanding what they were. Well, I won't even say they didn't understand what they were. What they did is they added a little salt and pepper to it and turned it into their own. You know, so just like it's a stolen religion, these are stolen pagan holidays. And that's exactly, you know, what they've been doing. Wow, all the calls are dropping off, you know. I wonder if it's something happening with Blog Talk. But anyway, so that's what's been happening here. And I wanted to tell you guys about that. And, you know, there's a lot more to talk about as far as this is concerned. And again, you know, I talked about the Epiphany and the Yule holiday, you know, I'm not sure who that is.
Is that
in German paganism. And basically, that's where that derived from. It's just interesting, like I said, you know, I'm going to post some links a little later, so that people can go and look this stuff up for themselves and see what's happening with that. And even in the United States, you know, a lot of people have always been celebrated, and that's not necessarily true. Christmas in the United States, I don't know what that. Hold on.
At a hooded sweatshirt. Somebody got the Trayvon on.
Right. All right. I think it's the Bluetooth, you all. So, you know, just be careful with that. But Christmas has not always been celebrated in this country. The pilgrims who came to America in 1620 were strict Puritans. And basically they had some really firm beliefs on religious holidays. For example, Christmas and Easter, you know, they didn't necessarily celebrate those holidays. And, you know, they argued the very concept of holy days, if you will. And, you know, many of them, basically, they didn't feel that there was anything holy about them at all. And one of the common phrases that they would say, they for whom all days are holy can have no holidays. You know, so there was no specific holiday. You know, every day was a holy day to them. And they weren't fond of Christmas. They used to call it Fooltide, Fooltide. Again, Fooltide. And they banned anybody in their congregation from celebrating it throughout the 17th and 18th centuries. And basically, on the first December 25th, the settlers spent at Plymouth Colony. They worked in the fields as they would any other day. The next year, a group of non-Puritan workmen caught celebrating Christmas with a game of stoolball and an early precursor of baseball were punished by Governor William Bradford. And he stated, "My conscience cannot let you play while everybody else is out working." So, you know, the question is, why didn't they believe in Christmas, or why didn't they like Christmas? And basically, the main reason was it did not originate as a Christian holiday. And the upper classes in ancient Rome celebrated December 25th as the birthday of the god Mithra, the sun god Mithra, and the date fell right in the middle of Saturnalia, a month-long holiday dedicated to food, drink, and revelry. And Pope Julius I is said to have chosen that date to celebrate Christ's birth as a way of co-opting the pagan ritual. Beyond that, the Puritans consider it historically inaccurate to place the Messiah's arrival on December 25th. They thought Jesus had been born sometime in September, and I believe I said that on another show. They believed that his birthday was in September. The whole thing is just really interesting. Go ahead. You know, so, you know, it's just interesting when you start doing your research on that, you'll see that it has evolved, and there's been a lot of backlash in the past several years because of Christmas. Basically, you know, in 1712, you know, Cotton Mather, he was one of New England's most influential religious leaders. And he said the feast of Christ's nativity is spent in reveling, dicing, carding, masking, and in all licentious liberty. My mad mirth by long eating, by hard drinking, by lewd gaming, and by nude reveling. So, you know, Christmas was not really thought of in the best way. It shows here that Benjamin Franklin wrote of Christmas, "O blessed season, loved by saints and sinners for long devotions or longer dinners." So, you know, it's just interesting when you start looking at, you know, some of the history behind this, you know, how it all evolved and how it came about. There is a lot of information that's out there. You have these different people, they don't understand. You know, the Christmas was once, you know, was the winter solstice. Easter was Ostara, you know, the spring equinox. Halloween was Samhain, Valentine's Day. And when you see that word Samhain, it does not look, when you look at it, it's spelled S-A-M-H-I-N, but it's pronounced Samhain, or in some cases, some people call it Svana. So it's just interesting. It's the Irish Gaelic word, so look that up. You have all these different days. You have Valentine's Day, May Day. Tuesday was known as Tears Day. Wednesday was Woden's Day or Odin's Day. Thursday was Thor's Day. Friday was Freya's Day. Saturday was Saturn's Day. Sunday was the Sun's Day. And Monday was the Moon's Day. The whole calendar is pagan, if you will. So, you know, we're just trying to educate you guys and to encourage you to go out and read some information so that you'll know exactly what you're celebrating. You know, now I'll be the first one to say that I will not turn down a Christmas or Easter dinner, you know, but, you know, but I don't celebrate any of these holidays. I pretty much stopped when I was about 12. You know, I told my mother she didn't have to buy the tree anymore or any of that, and I used to try to tell her about these things, but she just thought I was some weird kid, you know. But, you know, the fact that she didn't have to go and buy all that stuff, I think that kind of made her happy. She didn't have to fulfill that, and especially since I was the one who suggested it. So, you know, I know we have a lot of young people that listen to the show. Please do not do anything or say anything that will cause difficulties for you at home. You know, just be careful with that type of thing. You know, my mom, you know, it was a different story, so I was kind of able to get away with some things. But, you know, it's interesting. But, you know, listening to the conservatives when they talk about the war on Christmas, and, you know, again, what does Christ have to do with Christmas? You know, Christ means the anointed one, according to the Bible. And, you know, there's nothing anointed about that day. you know, and basically, you know, it's all about, you know, how many gifts you can get, you know, driving people into, you know, taking on debt that they cannot afford, you know, suicide rates go up. I'm not understanding, you know, it's talking about, you know, the evolution of that day and how it went from being a so-called holy day to a day of commercialism, a day of materialism. Again, you have the winter solstice. Go and look that up, S-O-L-S-T-I-C-E, winter solstice. Look that up, look up Saturnalia. There are a lot of different, you know, groups that were celebrating that day for a different reason for a number of years before Christmas. Look up the Vikings, the Druids, the, you know, the Maya, the Inca, the Saxons, the Romans, the Greeks, the Cherokee, you know, the Celts, the Babylonians, the Egyptians, so on and so forth. There were a lot of people celebrating. You know, the winter solstice is actually one of the oldest and longest-lived celebrations, you know, of that day. And basically that, you know, yearly celestial alignment happens between the 21st and the 23rd of December, and it marks the end of the cold, short days of the winter and the beginning of the longer, warmer days on the horizon. So it's the celebration of the coming of the sun, if you will. So, again, listen to what we're saying. The celebration of the coming of the sun, S-U-N sun, not S-O-N sun. And most all ancient winter celebrations related back to days and throughout history were honored as one of the most spiritual events of the year. So, you know, keep that in mind. And again, you know, during the winter solstice, at the year's end when the sun shines the least daylight hours on the earth and awakens the next day with lengthening light, humans have always feasted and celebrated and offered gifts to each other and to the heavens, if you will. If you look at Saturnalia, you know, the Romans held Saturnalia on the winter solstice and celebrated to honor Saturn, the god of agriculture. They decorated with evergreen boughs and lights and exchanged symbolic gifts representing happiness, prosperity, fertility, and the gift of life's journey. The Vikings, they celebrated Yule and decorated evergreen trees with pretty things to entice the tree spirits to come back in the spring. And the ancient Germanic people, they attached candles, fruit, and gifts to evergreen branches. These trees represented eternal life. Again, these trees represented eternal life. And this tradition was to honor their god, whom they called Wotan, the deity that Wednesday is named after. And, you know, Native Americans, you know, they celebrated the Great Mother Earth, or the Great Earth Mother, during winter solstice as a time of looking forward to new beginnings. New beginnings when their lands will begin to be green and fruitful. And ancient Hindu people celebrated Lori, a five-day festival to acknowledge the end of the winter season. So it's just interesting, you know, going back to the Druids here, you know, talking about how for many thousands of years and some of the largest and most spiritual gatherings took place at Stonehenge, you know, over there, you know, in England. So, you know, Stonehenge, you know, those big-ass rocks that nobody can figure out what they're there for. So, you know, this started around the 21st of December when the sun entered Capricorn and continued all the way until around the 24th when the sun was at its lowest point in the horizon. So, you know, again, you know, people came from all over to pay homage to the sun, to look forward to his rebirth with the longer days to come, you know, and they still do that to this day. You know, take a look at that. The Andean people, they still celebrate solstice or the festival of the sun. The ancient land of the Incas, you know, this celebration was banned by the Catholic Church in the 16th century, but secretly continued and has withstood the prejudice of time. The Slavic cultures celebrate this time by gathering together and walking through the villages singing songs of the season. Listen to what I'm saying. They gather together and they walk through the villages singing songs of the season. I hope you all are catching on to what I'm saying here. The Jewish people, they celebrate the Festival of Lights, also known as Hanukkah, and it's also timed with the winter solstice. And it's the birth of the sun and everlasting light. Again, birth of the sun and everlasting light. I'm telling you, look this up. Research just proved me wrong. Ancient Arab cultures, they believe that the moon was born on December 24th and thus celebrated for that reason. Egyptians, you know, of the past, they rejoiced over the sun, over the birth of the son of Isis, their goddess of nature and fertility, on the 25th of December, and they celebrated with the Feast of the Burning Lamps to honor the occasion. The Babylonians, the Babylonians celebrated the birth of the son of the Queen of Heaven on December 25th. You know, the Persians have celebrated Yalda during the winter solstice, and this commemorates the victory of light and goodness over darkness and evil. Again, I'll repeat that. This commemorates the victory of light and goodness over darkness and evil. Shabbat Yalda means birthday eve, and that's ancient Persian mythology. And it tells us that Mithra, the sun god, was born at dawn on the 22nd of December to a virgin mother. His life symbolizes light, truth, goodness, and strength. And, you know, this is only a partial list. You know, it's a bunch more. I'll, you know, post these links after the show. But I definitely want you all to, you know, look this up and understand what you're celebrating. Understand where it came from. Where it derived from. It's just, it's extremely, extremely important for you guys to know what's happening here. And I see we have Nicole back on the line here, but it's a lot. It's a lot happening. And, you know, hey, you know, yeah, and Terry is correct. Years from now, somebody's going to be like, and the Christians celebrated Jesus on December 25th. And that's absolutely correct. And it's interesting looking at all of this. You know, basically, our present-day Christmas is basically a collage of ancient ways of life and traditions assimilated through time that have come to represent different things for many people. Legends, myths, and rituals that predate written history, and a marriage of ideas from many primordial civilizations created our Christmas. And, you know, again, you have Santa Claus, and don't forget Krampus, K-R-A-M-P-U-S. Again, that's K-R-A-M-P-U-S. That's the evil Santa Claus. We're going to talk about the good Santa Claus. We're talking about the evil one, too. And I posted a link about that. You know, you got St. Pete, you know, and you have all of these different characters out there. And I definitely want you guys to look that up. Also, I want you to look up the Wheel of the Year, W-H-E-E-L, Wheel of the Year. And it's basically an annual cycle of seasonal festivals in contemporary paganism. And it consists of the 8 festivals based around the solstices and equinoxes, known as quarter days, the midpoint between, known as cross-quarter days. Look this up. Look this information up. Understand where it came from. You know, understand where it came from. Understand what it means. You know, look up Wiccan and pagan holidays. Wiccan holidays are becoming a little bit more recognized. There are some places that allow pagans and Wiccans to basically celebrate their holidays as part of the school year, and they get the days off from work and from school and all of that. So it's becoming a little bit more widely accepted. That's the reason why, you know, when I hear certain things when they're trying to teach religion in school, why I applaud when they try to introduce the flying spaghetti monster. So if you're going to, you know, practice and teach one, they should practice and teach them all. But I want you guys definitely to go out and to look up this information how Easter and Valentine's Day and, you know, all of these holidays, how it has pagan roots, so that you can see where it came from and how the Christians incorporated it and basically hijacked these holidays. And, you know, again, you know, I heard Christians say, well, they give the pagans and atheists April 1st, April Fool's Day, as our holiday. And, you know, it's just interesting considering that nothing to that religion is original. Pretty much everything is stolen, and, you know, many of them do not know or understand their own history. And I think it's important to start teaching them about this. So, you know, it's interesting. So, guys, hey. Yeah, Valentine's Day is a pagan holiday as well. It's just interesting how all of this came about. And that's why I say, you know, I encourage you guys to go look it up. But for Valentine's Day, basically, a lot of people think it's named after a Christian saint. But, no, if you take a look at it a little bit deeper, basically, February 14th is known as Juno Februata, and the Romans celebrated a holiday on February 14th to honor Juno Fructifera, queen of the Roman gods and goddesses, as well as goddess of marriage. In one ritual, women would submit their names to a common box, and men would each draw one out. These two would be a couple for the duration of the festival, and at times for the entire following year. Both rituals were designed to promote not only fertility, but also life generally. February 15th was the Feast of Lupercalia. I'm mispronouncing these names, forgive me. But on February 15th, the Romans celebrated Lupercalia, honoring Faunus, the god of fertility. Men would go to a grotto dedicated to Lupercal, the wolf god, located at the foot of Palatine Hill, and where Romans believed that the founders of Rome, Romulus and Remus, were suckled by a she-wolf. The men would sacrifice a goat, don its skin, and run around, hitting women with small whips and axes, which was supposed to ensure fertility. Sound like BDSM to me, but hey. You know, St. Valentine, you know, the Christian priest, it says here, according to one story, Roman Emperor Claudius II imposed a ban on marriages because too many young men were dodging the draft by getting married. Only single men had to enter the army. A Christian priest named Valentinus was caught performing secret marriages and sentenced to death. While awaiting execution, young lovers visited him with notes about how much better love is than war, the first Valentine. The execution occurred 269 CE on February 14th, and CE means Common Era. And that's something I would encourage you all to learn about as well, learn about Common Era, what it means and how it came about. St. Valentine, second and third, another Valentinus was a priest, jailed for helping Christians. During his stay, he fell in love with a jailer's daughter and sent her notes from Your Valentine. He was eventually beheaded and buried on the Via Flaminia. It reported Pope Julius I built a basilica over his grave. A third and final Valentinus was the Bishop of Terni, and he was also martyred, and his relics being taken back to Terni. So, it's interesting. It says in 469, Emperor Galatius declared February 14th a holy day in honor of Valentinus instead of the pagan god. And basically, it just goes on and it shows how this allowed Christianity to take over some of the celebrations of love and fertility, which had previously occurred in the context of paganism. Pagan celebrations were reworked to fit the modern thing. Christians did not approve of rituals that encouraged sexuality. Instead of pulling girls' names from boxes, both boys and girls chose the names of modern saints from a box. So, you know, it's interesting. You know, it's a lot more of that. I'll post that link later as well. But that is where Valentine's Day came from. So, again, like I said, it's just important for everybody to go back and to look and see how all of these days came about and where it came from. So, you know, it's just interesting. And, William, tell people how they can contact us here.
You want to get on the line with us? You're going to dial up 310-982-4273. And then a voice is going to tell you to press 1 to connect with the host.
Excellent. Excellent. So did you all know about that, about these holidays and where they came from?
I didn't know that much.
Some of that. Yeah, not that much, no. I kind of scanned a little bit, you know, read up a little bit. My grandmother, who's your witness, said that Jesus was not born in December, so.
Mm-hmm. And I listen to Joe Rogan a lot, so I hear about how it's connected to mushrooms and stuff, and I listen to the abstract. But the fact that today it's built around that, what I really just consider the silliness with the Christianity and Yahweh and all that, it's not that serious anyway, but yeah, it is. Yeah, do the history. Learn about it. Because, like, even me, I don't wake up in the morning in December like, yeah, I'm going to celebrate Christmas. But I'm an American, and like most of us, I'm off work that day anyway. And I like the music, the movies, candy canes, and sugar cookies anyway, so I might as well jump on board.
I hate the music, man. I did 4 Christmases at Target, man. I hate the damn music, you know. My grandfather's birthday is actually on Christmas Day, so, you know, when people say Jesus is the reason for the season and stuff like that, I'm like, nah, Jesse White is the only man whose birthday I'm going to celebrate on that day, you know what I'm saying? You know, forget all that. Mm-hmm. You know, reading much on it, you know, a lot of the things they had the traditional ideas of, you know, like the 3 wise men and all that. You know, things I read said that, you know, suggested the Bible really even didn't really mention much about those guys too much, and it didn't really happen the way they portray it and stuff like that. It's like they took something that was already fantastical anyway and embellished it and made a further lie and dang Paul Bunyan mythical tale out of it. But they take it as being honest with God, whole truth, and if you don't accept it, there's something wrong with you.
Yeah. Right, and, you know, it's just interesting. It's interesting, you know, again, you know, with the commercialization of the holiday, you know, that's what's turning a lot of Christians off. You know, some Christians, they actually really do know where some of this derives from, you know, but yet it's tradition, it's habit, so they stick with it, and especially because it's so commercialized. How can they take this away from their children? And, you know, someone was mentioning Jehovah's Witness a minute ago. Yeah, the Jacksons were raised as Jehovah's Witnesses, but they did Christmas albums. I just wonder how that worked out there. But, you know, I thought about the other day, and, you know, basically, you know, right here in this article, it says the Christians want to defend Christmas and restore some religious meaning or content to it, that's fine. But they are going about it the wrong way. They can't turn the tide of commercialization, secularization, and tolerance in how modern American culture celebrates this time of the year. They might, however, be able to convince individual Christians to turn away from all that and focus on religious aspects of the holy day. If enough Christians change, perhaps the culture will as well, but the focus should be on what Christians do as individual Christians. So, you know, it's interesting. They're attacking people that say happy holidays as opposed to, you know, Merry Christmas, you know, not taking into account that not everybody is a Christian. And, you know, it is that arrogance that, you know, sometimes gets them in trouble. And it's just funny to me because, you know, they think everything originated, started, and everything will end with Christianity. That is their thinking. That's what they've been taught. And when you say something contrary to that, then, you know, some of them just be quiet and walk away because they know they don't have the knowledge really to, you know, counter what you have to say. But others want to argue with absolutely no knowledge and no information of what they're celebrating. And that's the reason why we present the information here, because we want to educate you guys, educate you on what's happening, where this stuff derived from, how it came about, and how, you know, and again, you know, not mocking or showing any disdain to Christians, because some of them really truly do believe that what they're doing and what they're saying is the truth and the right thing to do, but they have not been educated. And, again, I point the finger at their leaders, their pastors, their bishops, apostles, and all of those folks, and priests, all of that. They have not been educating them. And the question is why. They're not educating you on purpose. They don't want you to gain this knowledge. They want you to remain ignorant and uneducated so that they can continue to control you.
Exactly.
And, it's, you know, yeah, it's just interesting, you know. All of that came about. There were some good links that were posted in the room. The one link, I believe Mario posted about the evil Santa Claus. That was Krampus. That was Krampus. So, guys, look that up, K-R-A-M-P-U-S, Krampus. That it was the evil Santa. And so, you know, and I'll, you know, Mario, if you can, you can post that on my wall, or I'll post it a little bit later. But, you know, the whole thing is just interesting. Yeah. We have to get out here and educate people. And, you know, you all were talking about Christmas songs earlier. I actually like some of the Christmas songs. You know, I'll be in line at Walmart or wherever, you know, whatever store, standing in line, they're blasting the music. They have been blasting Christmas music since before Halloween. So I think I've heard Santa Claus is coming to town probably at least 40 or 50 times by now.
Yeah, I love Kenny Chesney's version of Santa Claus is Back in Town, the Ronettes' Sleigh Ride. I love the Bob and Tom's Comedy Corps, comedy Christmas songs, all that stuff, all day. You know, as far as people being afraid of taking Christmas away from their kids if they feel it's not logical to celebrate it, you know, I'm not a breeder by choice. But if I were to produce a unit of offspring, or maybe adopt some little big head boy to come play football or something, they're not against logic. A kid will understand if you're like, hey, you get stuff all year, why do you need a special day to get stuff? A kid will get that because they're not fully indoctrinated yet. Their brain isn't even fully developed yet. You're pumping fresh information into a new hard drive for the first, you know, couple decades of a human's life. So you can put that good information in, and then Christmas can still be something, but it can be like a hike up the mountain early in the morning to watch the sunrise, you know, something like that. Maybe go up to the city, you know, and go hang out up there, go see a play or something. You know, it doesn't have to be the tree and all that.
Oh, yeah, and I love that analogy that you use about, you know, babies and being a brand new hard drive. The problem is when those babies grow up and they get a blue screen of death.
No.
Then we got to figure out how to back them up and throw a new image on that hard drive to kind of bring them back and make them fresh and new, or as close to fresh and new as possible, and restore the data that was once there, but, you know, hopefully taking away some of the bad stuff. So it's just the whole thing is interesting. You know, they're talking about Christmas songs in the room there. And I actually like the Christmas album by TLC. You know, oh man, I love that song. So
they have a Santa baby.
Yeah, you know, and you know, I'll go ahead. I like that new Christmas song by CeeLo. You know, but I love CeeLo. So you know, hey, it is what it is. And Sounds of Blackness Christmas. Oh, wonderful. Doesn't mean that I celebrate a holiday or anything like that. I just enjoy music. So
yeah.
I
just find it, you know, I find it hilarious, though, because I'm riding in the truck with a guy who has it on the gospel channel, and they're playing black gospel Christmas songs and stuff like that, you know, and, you know, I find myself thinking, and I don't mean, you know, I never mean to disrespect anybody, but I find myself thinking, I'm like, my, how far we've come from having a completely different belief system to being taken by a completely different group of people who had a completely different belief system, to adopting that belief system to the point where we're singing these songs like we're, like, like, I'm pretty sure they have that I have serious constipation face on as they're singing this song.
Right.
You know? And, you know, I just, you know, but.
All right, and it looks like, I mean, you got to run back. You know where it comes from. So hearing those songs today makes me think of, it's like the guys on the plantation saying, we're going to do what they do in the big house, but we're going to sing them our way.
Hey, you know, we have Nakomi and Deborah online. You still have anything to say?
I'm just listening to y'all. And, I'm just listening to what you're saying. Hello? Hello?
Yeah, we're here, hon. We're here.
Oh, okay. The phone sounds so strange sometimes. I'm agreeing with what you said. You know, it's all a big lie. It looks like they go from the little kiddie stories to the grown-up stories. You know, it's just one big fantasy, and, you know, and now, you know, of course, with the money and everything, nobody wants to give it up, you know. And it's really, when you think about it, it's just, you know, it's just so crazy, you know. And it seems like, you know, like I said, people just don't want to get out of it.
Right, it's tradition, it's a habit, it's a ritual, and, you know, yeah, it's giving it up, but it's more so about giving up the premise or the ideology behind it. Because while I don't necessarily celebrate any of these holidays, you know, for Thanksgiving, you know, I went to visit my sister in New York, so we were there. And, you know, anyway, I'll fast forward it to, you know, Thanksgiving Day and dinner. And, you know, a cousin was there and was like, oh, let's pray for the dinner. And I looked at my sister and I'm like, you know better. And she just started laughing. And she just said, Tim, just let him pray. Let him pray. We know you don't believe. I know you don't believe. Pray. 36 ain't going to kill you. And so I'm like, man, I'm like, they better not go around the room asking everybody what they're thankful for, because that probably won't end well. I'll be quiet and be silent while the rest of you guys pray. And so, you know, all of a sudden he's talking about hold hands. I'm like, I ain't holding nobody's hand. So it was a young man there that was a 5%er. He was raised as a 5%er. So she told him to come stand by me, since we were kind of on a, you know, on that same thing there. And I'm laughing because I knew what she meant, and everybody else was looking confused. So the young man came and stood by me, and somebody grabbed my other hand, which I was not happy about, but they grabbed it, but I didn't grab theirs back, so they had my wrist. And they're praying, and I'm looking around the kitchen and all that. And my niece, you know, opened her eyes, and she started looking at me, and she was eyeballing me. And we're doing everything we can not to laugh, right? And so later on, so we were teasing each other about some things, and she said to me, she was like, yeah, you're talking about me. You're the one sitting around, looking around and eyeballing when everybody else's heads were bowed and eyes were closed. And she was like, awkward. And so it was just hilarious the way that came about. And I was like, but you saw me not looking. So you weren't looking either. So it's just interesting, you know. Hey, you know, you let people have their thing. I had a kick-ass meal, and for 2 days, and it was good. And I was around people that I know that love me. And, you know, it was good, you know. So I just tell people, even though you may not believe in certain things, you know, there are certain traditions and things that your family may still adhere to. And that doesn't mean that, you know, you have to grab the pipe and do the prayer yourself. I just say, you know, just let you do that thing, you know, you continue trying to plant the seeds. But, you know, there's no need to have a big old blowout, you know, at the Thanksgiving or Christmas dinner. Just get your plate and sit down somewhere, damn it. But anyway, you know.
You know, Kim, it's not a dinner unless it's a blowout. It has to be a blowout on the holidays. It just has to.
That's why I love
making fun, right?
Oh, you know what? I think that's what I'm going to do today after the show. I'm going to go on YouTube and look for holiday fights so I can see if someone...
videotape, you know, the Christmas fights and the Easter fights. That should be a website, holiday fights, you know, when the family gets together and, you know, have a big old blowout. You know, WWE ain't got nothing on that. But it's all things, like you said, you know, interesting how all of that comes about. And, guys, like I said, Ralph said holidays, 5% missing, 95% of cerebrum. Funny, hilarious. But it's just, it's interesting, guys. I just say, you know, continue being yourselves. And definitely, I want to give you some insight into next week's show. Next Sunday will be Mario, Reyna, Comey, William, Alfred. You know, they'll be running the show next Sunday. They will be talking about about the Mayan calendar. So it will be like, you know, a rapture after party talking about the Mayan calendar combined with Festivus, the airing of grievances. And so I'll have that link ready this evening. But yeah, the airing of grievances and the Mayan calendar. And so they're going to bring you some historical perspective on it. And, you know, and then also have a little fun, well, a lot of fun with it, because, you know, I want everybody to call in if someone was raptured up on that day. Let us about it.
Go ahead. I'll be calling from a different number. I'll be calling from heaven. I'm actually going to get raptured because I think I'm pretty awesome. You know, I look in the mirror. I'm like, how could this guy not get raptured?
Does anybody ever notice how the people that project that whole, you know, the world coming to the end and all that kind of disappear towards the time that it actually comes around? I noticed that with some people, like during the time, the date, you know, starts the service of the week of, you don't really see them hooping and hollering about it as much as they do in the previous years. I just thought that that was pretty interesting. Like, don't go high now. It's supposed to be the last day, you know what I mean? You might want to get your last little words in.
Exactly. And, you know, it's just interesting. And then again, the airing of grievances for Festivus. So, you know, we can't do feats of strength. Well, actually, they can. You know, they can get down there and wrestle. It should be interesting. You know, I think Alfred will be on the show. I think I mentioned Alfred as well. Alfred and William, just to kind of let you guys know, Alfred and William will be starting their own show next year called The Barbershop. And, you know, we're looking forward to that addition to the family. It should be fantastic. I'm really excited about that. And Alfred, he does Father Teresa's Wine Cellar and Rhyme Pass on Blog Talk Radio. Get a chance, check out his show. Make sure you put that link on my wall, William, so people can see what's happening with that. And we'll be starting up the itinerary for next year as well. So, you know, Raina's show will be starting up again in January, and Mario has his show, you know, still on Friday evenings, and Saturday afternoon for Raina. And so, you know, again, we're expanding, we're getting bigger, we're getting better, and, you know, again, without you, this is not possible. So, again, thank you guys, and, you know, I hope that we impart as much to your lives as we do to mine. You know, you know, I appreciate it. You know, I'm laughing at something someone said in the chat room. Bad, bad, bad people. But anyway, you know, some of these, you know, some of the information that we're giving you guys, like I said, just look it up. You know, just look it up. Look it up. I always say, look it up and prove me wrong. Prove me wrong, you know, because, you know, going back to Christmas again, you know, it's been characterized by increased depression, excessive spending, outrageous materialism, troubling debt, ridiculous advertisements, and, of course, annoying cultural wars over the meaning of Christmas itself. So, you know, it's interesting, you know, how can we declare a war on something that was stolen? You know, wouldn't that be aiding and abetting? Or maybe I'm looking at that the wrong way.
And you know what we're aware of. Oh, my bad. Go on.
No, you go ahead.
Well, you know, we're aware of the fact that they do it for the ratings. They do it for the advertisement money. Mm-hmm. It's going to pump up the shows. We know that. But what
right.
a lot of like the people that they're advertising this war on Christmas to, what they don't understand is that we're just trying to really protect you from yourselves and each other in a social war with each other that you guys had back in Europe before you even came to America and started being silly over here, because like those nativity scenes, particularly that one in San Diego this year was the one that was taken down, funded by government taxpayer money. And we're like, we're just trying to say, you, the Catholic, we don't want you to have to pay to subsidize a Baptist. We're just not trying to force one religion over the other. We're not trying to make atheism the big thing, as if there is such a thing as atheism. You know, that doesn't really exist. That's a silly word. We don't need it. Like, I don't go out into the woods and drink hamster blood and dance the dance of the atheist, and then eat the atheist meal and drink the atheist wine. Like, there is no atheism.
Yeah, no, exactly. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, oddly enough, though, there is, you know, a ritual in which you're supposed to eat of somebody's flesh and symbolically drink their blood. But cannibalism is pretty creepy. So, you know, you don't actually want to do it. You just want to symbolically do it because it's Jesus.
Yeah, and because somebody else told you to, somebody who runs with a line of people, and particularly that one, that's Catholic, right? So I mean, we know what they're
yeah.
kind of known for with their priest, and the reason why only 5% of Ireland goes to mass on Sunday now, as opposed to 95% before 1970.
Exactly. You know, an interesting thing about that is, you know, people are becoming less and less religious. You know, if you look at these studies and these polls that have been taken, you see the decrease in religiosity. And, you know, and also the decrease in church attendance, which is why you have all these pastors pulling these gimmicks and pulling these stunts to get people to pay attention to them and hopefully increase their donations. Again, it goes back to the money. Follow the money, people.
Exactly.
And they're doing this to get increased donations, get money and attention, and hopefully more butts in the pews and all of that. That is their goal. They are using you, okay? Understand that you are being used by these people. But I can kind of understand why some people continue to go to church. You get bored sitting at home. You can only watch so many movies, and in some cases, they just don't have the money. If you got 7 or 8 children and you got a few adults and the tickets are $10-$15 each to get into the movie theater, you cannot afford to take your kids to the movies. And then, you know, those little boobers are going to want some popcorn, candy, and soda. A bag of popcorn is $10. So, I mean, you know, it's something to do. It's something to do. They keep the children's church. They keep them active. The adults get to be entertained by singers and some preacher up there talking a whole bunch of mess he ain't living. It's like masterpiece theater. You know. Now when I see church on TV, because I do watch it every once in a while, just to see and hear what they're teaching their people, and especially if it's a church that I once attended or that I know that people go to that church or I know the pastor or some things about the pastor, I'm just sitting there like sitting and, you know, biding my time. I said I should start one of those, you know, one of those squares that they use in the office, an office square, to see how long it is before we find out about his outside child or his male lover. Or, you know, how long is it going to be before that's exposed? Because now, to me, it's just a waiting game, and that's how I look at it. You know, it's entertainment. It's all entertainment, you know.
Yeah, that's what it is.
So it's mm-hmm. interesting. Like that, Judy in the chat room said Catholic Mass is an exercise class. Sit up, bend down, kneel, repeat. And see, it's telling the truth. I remember in the military how on Sundays, if we didn't want to get stuck with, you know, KT or get stuck with cleaning the barracks, that basically we would go to Catholic Mass, and we would go so we could sleep. And so, you know, the priest caught on
that it was a whole couple of rows of us back there knocked out in the middle of the sermon. Didn't know a bit of Latin, you know, just following everybody. And then it was interesting when I refused to drink from the chalice. That's another story. But, you know, and so, you know, he started doing a little exercise program. And after we saw that they were going to be making us stand up and exercise and talking to us in a language we didn't understand, we decided to go over to the Baptist church. And that was held in the auditorium. And, you know, that was like, you know, aerobics there because, you know, they had the praise and worship. That's when praise and worship was really big. Now, I don't attend church now, but I've been to a couple of churches here in Chicago. Their praise and worship is like one of the best Zumba classes you could ever go to. And I'm like, I'm going to start attending again so I can lose some weight. And so, you know, so it's just, the whole thing is interesting. And Judy says, you know, some churches are boring. Yeah, some of them. I went over to a Calvinist church.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Man, I went to this Calvinist church. Let me tell you, it was already hot when I walked in. So, you know, the heat ain't going to do nothing but make me sleepy in the first place. So I'm trying not to nod because I'm hot. And then the pastor up there pulling a Tracy Chapman. Now, I love me some Tracy Chapman, but there's only so much acoustic guitar, a stool, and a microphone I can take. So, you know, I need a rhythm section. Damn that. You know, I'm going to do some chips and sweats, you know.
I'm not above using that same thing, how they use it to get more ratings or get more listeners. Like how I do shows, like you mentioned, I did the Rhymecast and the other shows on the search notes, like so that people can search it and maybe the show will come up. I put in things like Fiscal Cliff because I know that's what people are looking for right now. You know, and maybe you'll come across it and check it out. So I do the same thing, except I'm not trying to, you know, I'm not filing a 501c3 for, you know.
Right. Oh, that's too funny. But, yeah, you got to give the people what they want, right?
So, yeah. Yeah.
The best way to drive home a message to people is to stick to things that is relevant at the time and everything like that. And you'll notice that they augment their message depending on what's going on. The movies do the same thing. You know, if during the 70s and 80s and stuff like that, the main threat was the Cold War. That's why you had so many spy movies and James Bond and stuff like that. And so when things change, you know, people change their messages to bring in the most audience. But if God's word is never changing, then you're actually doing the wrong thing. You know, the fact that you can have so many different versions of the Bible, one, it speaks in kind of a really old English, and one of them speaks in very layman terms, that you can decide, hey, people need to understand this a little bit more, so I'm going to write this a little bit more easy for people to understand. If God's word, you can just change it at will like that. I mean, changing messages, I mean, I guess you have to do that, but if it's God's word, can you do that? Should you do that? You know, I just think that's the truth.
Yeah, it's interesting, you know, how all that plays about, you know, just looking at it and seeing some of the hypocrisy and all of that. I'm laughing. Rob said he paid $50 to see me slain in the spirit. No, that means you pay $50 to watch me taking a nap, because if you see me on the floor, I'm knocked out. I'm asleep. Ain't no slain in the spirit nowhere, but I remember one church, you know, I was a minister at this church, as a matter of fact, and the pastor, you know, couldn't understand. I never shouted. I never got happy like all the other people. And once in a while, I'll drop a few tears because, again, it is built on emotions, and I do emote, if you will. You know, I'm not a robot. But one time the pastor was walking around, and he got to me, and I guess he was determined to, you know, make an example of me and to show people that, you know, because I'm sure he wasn't the only one teasing or wondering why I never would shout or any of that. I just never felt it that way. But he came to me and he put his hand on my head. You know how they always try to touch your head and pray for you. Well, right. This time he decided to push me back. So, you know, that means I was going on the floor, and I felt myself going back because he pushed me kind of hard, right? Well, I was like, I ain't going down alone, so I grabbed him. We were going down together. And guess who was going to be on top? I was, because you ain't falling on top of me. And so it was just interesting because, you know, he caught himself, and when he pulled up, he pulled me up with him because I had a firm grasp. I don't know how many chest hairs I pulled out that day, but I was not going down.
Yeah, they did that to me in a Pentecostal church in Lakewood, Washington State. And if you watch an episode of Cops in Pierce County, you'll see it because that, a lot of crime goes on in the area that that church is in. And the guy, he was pushing my, because I wondered how everybody was falling down. I was like, are they acting? Are they faking it? It's like, no, he's pushing them down. He's just knocking people. And I didn't even want to get knocked to the floor because it's the floor, it hurts. Like, you know, gravity, I don't want to hit the ground, fella. Yeah, so that kind of, I kind of looked like a big old faker while I was trying to impress one of the church girls because I was a teenage boy at that time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it's hilarious how, you know, some of that works there and some of the tactics that they use. But, again, guys, you know, we're just here. We're here to challenge you to think and live for yourself. Not convert you. We're giving you this information. I'm going to post it on my Facebook wall as well as my Tumblr, which kicks it off to Twitter. So, you know, we're going to post all of this information and, you know, so you guys can, you know, look it up for yourselves and see where it's coming from. But also just sit back, common sense. Use a bunch of common sense and you'll see that, you know, we've said for a while, and I'm sure many of you all have said and seen this for yourself, that basically many Christians don't necessarily believe what they're professing because look at their lives. And that's what convinces me that quite a few people that go to church is just lip work, you know, it's lip service.
Yeah,
they don't,
yeah,
they
yeah.
don't believe. Look at their lives. Go ahead, honey.
You know, I sometimes I'm in this group, and these people, you know, they when we get to talking about religion, they're really hard on, they really steadfast in the religion. The Bible's 100%, all right? So then we'll get to talking about, you know, they're trying to bring up something related to gays, and these people are hardcore on that whole gays are an abomination, stuff like that, all right? I make one mention of slavery in the Bible, all of a sudden I'm taking it out of context. And everything, and it's like, you know, it's like, well, is the Bible 100% true or not? And if it is, then, you know what I'm saying, you cherry picking what you're going to stick hard to and then leaving one thing off because you don't want to accept that, that's bullshit, and I don't see how you think you're any better than me. When, you know what I'm saying, you said, the Bible says judge not lest ye be judged, and there's a whole thread of people talking bad about homosexuals. Because they think they have the rights, they have the leeway to them and everything, and you know, a lot of Christians, and not all of them. I've met a lot of good people who really are pretty cool people, so I can't say all of it, but there's a lot of them, you know, just so full of shit to the point where it really is disgusting.
It really is.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting, Judy said, and those who are divorced and remarry are going to hell with the homosexuals, and I had to put down in the liars. So, and I'm like, so I guess everybody will be in hell because those pastors and leaders know that they're lying to these people.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
And, you know, to tie it back to our original conversation, we were talking about what's been happening with these mass shootings and all of that, you know, and, you know, to kind of piggyback off of, you know, Friday's show. And, you know, you had people saying, you know, the devil has been busy. It was all in God's plan. Or they're saying God and the Holy Spirit, you know, they're saying God and the Holy Spirit is a gentleman and he doesn't go where he's not wanted. And I find that interesting and rather ironic. So God and the Holy Spirit are gentlemen. And they do not go where they're not wanted. Well, they must not be wanted in their churches either. Otherwise, you know, all of the licentious, you know, behavior that's happening in these churches wouldn't be happening. So if he's not wanted in schools and he's not wanted in the church, and he's definitely not wanted in your home, because I can tell you some shit about some of these folks, then where is he wanted?
Right.
At Pat Robertson's house, most likely. That's probably it. It's him and Pat Robertson having tea. Because, you know, yeah, he's not, like you said, he's not wanted anywhere. Like, all those states that have all the mega churches, you look up the stats, those are all the states that have the most registered to porno websites. You know, so, like, they're not welcome in those homes. You got that Texas judge. He's a big Christian guy. But he was the one that was beating his daughter for, like, 10 minutes with that belt over something she downloaded on the internet on YouTube. We all probably saw that. So, he doesn't seem to be welcome in many places where Christians are, surprisingly.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, and, you know, the whole thing, like I said, you know, it's really interesting on how that works. And I'm laughing because you mentioned Pat Robertson. And I'm thinking about Clint Eastwood, Pat Robertson. I'm like, which one has the most contentious debate with an empty chair? Because Pat Robertson, I don't know if he's, you know, fussing at a chair. Or what he's yelling at, but you know that gentleman needs some. They even need to pull him off the TV.
I want to do that so bad. I was even thinking about, you know, because he's in my state, right? And I was thinking about getting a page up, you know, a petition. You know, because he needs to get off the air. He really, really do. That is a sick puppy there.
You know, I think it's a great thing that America has what we call freedom of speech. But I also think sometimes it's a pretty damn bad thing that America has this thing we call the freedom of speech. Because some people really abuse and privilege.
Abuse,
I mean,
because see, people are going to follow. They're going to follow what he said. You know, they ask him to do.
I think the biggest problem there is that it's become impolite to treat the ridiculous as ridiculous. You can't treat it with ridicule anymore. You have to be nice when the crazy old man says something crazy. Like, he can't have a co-host there that says, no, Pat, you're nuts. You need to go have a breakfast burrito and a nap or something. Like, we can't do that because that's mean.
Oh, well, not only is it me, it cuts off their paycheck. I think it's more so about them not wanting to lose their paycheck than about being mean. Because if you look at the way, you know, I remember his other co-host, he asked her if she watched porn. And you could have heard a rat piss on cotton. Because
I remember that.
You know, the way that I see it is, while I think they should take him off TV, part of me wants him to stay because I am so entertained. I am entertained and amused. You hear me? And so, you know, let's keep, like, you know, one of my old pastors, watch his broadcast every week, faithfully. Why? Because that old man amuses me. One time I sent him a note, I said, I don't know what you're talking about, and neither the fuck do you. And so, so I was the subject of the sermon next Sunday. You know, and so of course, you know, I thought that was hilarious. But yeah, guys. And so it's that's just hilarious. I can tell you some stories, guys. I can tell you some stories. And they all would be true. That's why I ain't been sued yet. So they know I know what I'm telling is the truth, and they know I know more than what I'm telling. But anyway, it's interesting. you know, it's just funny to me, guys. But yeah, you know,
I remember. Remember what he said about Haiti?
Uh huh.
Remember when the storm came in Haiti and he said, oh, because they're evil and all this stuff. So the next, it was a few months and the next year came up and the tornado went up the Bible Belt, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sitting up there waiting for him to say something. I stayed on that TV for a good 3 or 4 weeks waiting for him to say they're evil. He never. I said, look at this hell. But they evil, but the storm come up the middle of the Bible Belt, ain't nothing happened. Oh, he got on my nerves. I done called him too.
Yeah, it's interesting. you know, for kicks and giggles every once in a while, I'll go on, you know, several of these churches' websites. And so, you know, they have the Contact Us page. And I've asked them questions about these holidays and where it came from. And then sometimes I'll send them questions about, you know, whether it's homosexuality or abortion. Do you know I never get responses at all?
Right.
They do not respond to me at all. And I just think it's interesting. But then if I send some backwards as, you know, comment like, pray for me for whatever reason, I get all kind of responses and asking for my address. And then, you know, you end up getting all that, you know, junk mail. And, you know, it's just interesting. Yeah, I think I am on several lists there, Nate. And it's just hilarious, you know, when you go through it, because the questions that you ask them that are serious in nature, they don't answer. But if you ask something really silly, they have a long-winded answer, and then even then, it's not even an answer. It's a bunch of cliches. I remember one time talking to this one pastor, and all he did to me was repeat a gospel song to me. When praises go up, blessings come down, you know, and, you know,
that's right.
You know, and they give you cliches and all of that, and it's interesting. But we have to do better. We have to do better about educating people. And, again, you know, kind of make it fun, make people want to hear about it. But in addition to that, again, you know, going back to something that, you know, I started with earlier, just want to close that off, about people going to church out of tradition and ritual. They have nothing else to do. They're at home bored. They're at home bored, which is why I say we need to have some type of recreation facilities, some type of alternative, you know, to offer people so that they'll have somewhere else to go. You know, for Super Bowl Sunday, if I had my own little facility, for Super Bowl Sunday, I would rent, you know, big screen TV for that day. We would have a bar, so we'd have beer and all of that, and I used to bartend, so I can make all of the mixed drinks and things. You know, have that, you know, have people bring in food, and we can, you know, have the couches out and sit back and have a Super Bowl Sunday party, you know. And, I mean, you know, depending on if we have a closed back, and if it's not snowing outside, hell, we can barbecue, whatever. I mean, you know, this is why I think it's important that we start establishing our own, you know, no dancing. But we start establishing our own, start offering alternatives, but without turning into the religious. You know, I've got to make sure that I state that and clarify, you know, even if we did have an alternative, you know, we're not trying to turn into what we talk about. You know, and even though there are some in this community, the non-believing community, that, you know, it kind of looks that way, but I'm not quite sure. I haven't had a chance to really sit down and talk with these individuals to understand, you know, where they're coming from. But for me, it would just be a matter of having something different and, you know, an alternative, somewhere for people to go, somewhere for people to be able to talk, you know, and just have different things out there. And so, you know, it's interesting. You know, we have to do better. You know, a lot of atheists have been bellyaching for centuries, if you will. Atheism is not anything new. Free-thinkingism, none of this is anything new. But, you know, what I will say and give Christians, you know, credit for is that they're organized and they pump money back into their own. Whereas in this community, you know, somewhat organized, but, you know, getting money is like pulling teeth, you know, from people and, you know, trying to get these things established. And just like, you know, something that I see on both sides of the equation, Christians as well as non-believers, you can have all of these great ideas and you can try to implement them,
But getting people to donate, something getting people to volunteer is just like pulling teeth. It's almost impossible. And I hear from a lot of people, well, we should be in the community. We should be doing this. We should be doing that. And then you call for volunteers, and all of a sudden everybody's dog dies. You know what
Yeah, that money part, that's real. My my chip-in thing that I started, $2. $2 is what's been brought in so far. So we're doing big things, you know. I might go get some Skittles or something, try not to get shot for carrying them. But, and Kim is serious. Kim is not dogmatic. Kim does not, if anybody's listening for the first time, Kim does not try to force anything on anybody. A good example was back when the Chick-fil-A thing popped off and a lot of people had a lot of misinformation. A lot of people didn't know the whole story that actually started back in 2006, 2007. The Chick-fil-A thing has been going on. And Kim was like, I'm not going to spend my money there, but I won't tell you how to spend your money. That's your choice.
Right.
And I think you could tie that into a lot. What a lot of us know as adults, your dollar is a vote. Every dollar you make of whatever you got a $55,000 salary, you got 55,000 votes that year to cast your vote over who should be the business on top.
Right.
Exactly.
We really sometimes, you know, understand that we have to pick our battles. You know, you're not gonna change everybody's mind. You know what I'm saying? Chick-fil-A has been hit hard and it hasn't changed nothing yet. Those people are still steadfast in their archaic, draconian beliefs and whatnot. But at least I can say I'm not contributing to that shit. And it's gonna be, I mean, about every company has some type of ethical issue going on with it. I mean, it's next to impossible to avoid that. But, you know, I believe that everything you do, even if it's small, has some type of effect, especially if a lot of people are doing it. And so maybe I can't change every company's policy. Maybe I can't change everybody's mind. But hopefully myself and the people who are deciding we're not going to participate with this company or with these people, maybe that does have an effect and it does help somebody along the line.
Right, exactly, because, you know, for me, you know, and I thank you guys for that, I appreciate it, because, you know, again, I'm not here to tell people how to live, what to do, what not to do, you know, how to spend their money, who to give their money to. I just talk about what I do, or who I recommend, or what have you. But, you know, again, we're individuals, and there are times when we have to work together collectively, but... You know, I just say go out here, live your life, enjoy yourself, try to be the best person that you can possibly be, and if you can help somebody, help them. If you can't, it's okay. Just tell them that you can't, and, you know, and move on, you know, but that's what we're here to do. You know, I believe in community service. I believe we need to be active in the community. You know, the churches were supposed to be active in the community. Some are. I have to give credit to some churches. I know some churches that are active in the community. However, there are different things about that the general public doesn't know and doesn't understand, because a lot of that is underwritten by city, state, federal programs. And, you know, I've had ministers, you know, question me and say, well, most of the time when we're talking about the church, we're talking about the money. And I'm like, yes. And they're like, you don't argue the scriptures. And I said, well, why should I argue with the scriptures? We don't believe the Bible to be an original text. You know, but, you know, I can clear up some things about the scriptures, you know, and it's just the whole thing is interesting. But basically, you know, we can't forget where we came from. We cannot forego and forget the community. Yeah, somebody, your radio, you're going to have to put everybody on mute until we figure out what that is. So, guys, check that. I don't know if you got your window down, and I'm hearing air. All right. So, here we go. Let's see here. What's going on? Wow. So that's Blog Talk Radio, I'm assuming.
it's clearer than it ever been.
Okay, hold on.
All right, okay. Interesting. I even put myself on mute, so, you know, that's Blog Talk, so guys, bear with us. But, you know, guys, it's time to get back into the community. It's time to, you know, start giving back to one another, encouraging one another, even if you don't have anything to give to an individual that may be going through. You know, a word of encouragement goes a long way. A word of encouragement goes a very long way. But, you know, again, you know, be kind to one another. Most importantly, be kind to yourself. You just never know what, you know, somebody may happen to be going through. And pay attention to the news. Pay attention to your surroundings. Pay attention to what's happening and what's going on. But most importantly, be informed. Knowledge is a weapon. Knowledge is a weapon. And you need to understand that. And that's why we brought you the information about the so-called war on Christmas, about these stolen pagan holidays. You know, I wanted to clarify and clear that up for you guys. And I'm going to post, again, a lot of information. And this is only just a microcosm of the information that's out there. You know, it would take me all day to post all of the information that I have and to tell you everything that I know. But, you know, I definitely want people to go out and research it. And that's why I said earlier this year that I was going to give people enough and encourage them to research, because I actually really do want you to go out here and read this and see it for yourself. So, you know, this is just interesting. And, you know, over the past year and a half, you know, we've disseminated, you know, quite a bit of information. And I just hope that, you know, we were able to help at least a couple of people come to a better understanding, or encourage them to go out so that they can come to a better understanding. It's important that you all know and have your own opinions. There's nothing wrong with having your own opinion, even if it's the wrong opinion. Have an opinion, and if it's wrong or if there's a flaw in it, you know, we'll try to correct it, you know, and I'm not above being corrected. I've been corrected on several occasions. And that's fine, you know, because that's how I learn. I learn from you, and hopefully, you know, you'll learn from me. But, you know, guys, like I said, get out there and read and understand. And like I said, you know, be kind to one another. And, you know, it's really important, especially this time of year, and especially with the economy being the way that it is. You know, I've heard some stories, and some people out there, and they're hurting. So, you know, let's not make it any more difficult than it really has to be. And so, you know, for those of you out there, even though you don't celebrate Christmas or anything like that, you know, if you have donations, you know, donating clothes and food and all of that to domestic violence shelters, especially the ones that house, you know, the women and the children. You know, and, you know, so that those kids, you know, some of them still celebrate Christmas and these other holidays. You know, some of the moms are looking for jobs and, you know, looking for a better way of life, or, you know, transitioning into, you know, a new life. You know, so if you all have donations, clothing, money, food, you know, find your domestic violence shelters, find your missions, different places like that, and try to help these people out. Try to help them out. Do not necessarily give it to the charities like Catholic Charities or the Salvation Army. I won't give them my money. I won't give the money to the churches. And even though some of these domestic violence shelters are affiliated with some of these churches, you know, doing some fundraising and seeing what I see, I understand why. Because they'll be able to get some funds from these different places as well as the government. But I think we should try to get out and help them out. So, you know, I know around February I'm going to go through everything in my house and put some stuff together and try to take at least a few bags over there, a couple of bags of clothing, you know, a bag or two of shoes, and I'll take it over there to help people out, you know. And it's just interesting. But, yay, you know, again, I'm just grateful that I'm able to
be able to help people. And, you know, anyway, we're down to the last 10 minutes of the show. And, you know, again, you know, our telephone is 310-982-4273. Again, 310-982-4273. Next Sunday, we will be talking about the Mayan calendar. So it'll be a rapture, another rapture after party. And we'll be celebrating Festivus with the airing of grievances. So that should be a lot of fun. You're going to have Mario, Reyna, William, Alfred, Nakomi. They're all going to be on the line. And they're going to hold it down. So I'm looking forward to that show. I know I'm going to laugh. I can't laugh too hard, but I'm going to try to laugh. And so it should be interesting. I'm really looking forward to that. The Sunday after that, we're going to do a show, but it's probably only going to be a really short show that Sunday. And basically, you know, we're going to just do some recap of the show from the shows earlier in the year. Everybody will get a chance to say what their favorite show was. And, you know, we talked a little bit about it. We hit all the different topics up. But the last show of the year, we're going to do a recap. And then the first Sunday in January, I think I'm going to give everybody a break, and we commence the second week. Everybody, so we get a vacation. And so, you know, we'll be going from there. But, yeah, let's go Mayan. You know, on Mario's show the other night, we were talking about, you know, Christians and how they're talking about the Copter apocalypse and how nobody is volunteering to commit suicide to, you know, hurry up, get to heaven, be with Jesus. You know, then they try to tell you that suicide is a sin. And I remember I did a show telling you all about suicide, just talking about how it derived and from the North African cult from which it came and how it became a sin because they were martyring themselves. And, you know, it's just the whole thing is interesting. Ah, I want to do one shout-out. I have to remember, thank you, compass120.com. That is Doc and Val down in Atlanta, compass120.com. They have, free-thinking, non-believing, atheist T-shirts and all of that. And I gave a couple of T-shirts away, and Doc just sent me a few more. So I want to make sure that I acknowledge Compass 120. That's Doc Martin and Valerie Holland. Compass120.com. So that is my service announcement of the day. But
one thing I really love about shows since I started listening to your show, early on, eons ago and whatnot. And, you know, on to today, and then with the shows that, you know, I do and Raina does, and, you know what I'm saying, and Will and Alfred and everything, I really, really like the kind of round table kind of discussion type atmosphere that we have, and we're kind of joking about it and stuff like that, talking. It's almost like there isn't a radio and everything. And I think that kind of brings the audience into the conversation, and it makes it more, a little bit more inclusive and not so Fox and Friends like and shit like that, you know. So
thank you. You know, and I love having each and every one of you guys, you know, as part of the show. You've been here from the beginning, and you know, I've seen all of us grow, and you know, we're out here reaching out to people, and people are learning. And so, you know, I'm proud of our accomplishments over the past year and a half. And this is only the beginning. You know, we have a long way to go, and we have some surprises next year, some good news next year. And, you know, like I said, excited. The chat room is talking about some of the shows that they like. Yeah, on that Apathy show, I did kind of go in a little bit because, you know, that really just checks my hide, if you will. You know, you have all these people telling us what we should be doing, you know, using us as soundboards, if you will. This needs to happen. That needs to happen. And once we start putting it together and implementing that plan, then we can't get you to volunteer. We can't get you to donate. I mean, you know, what is that about? And I'll never understand it. And, I mean, you know, we all have apathetic, you know, tendencies, if you will. But some of it is absolutely ridiculous. Yeah, someone turn your radio back. And because I'm afraid of an echo. Just ridiculous. And, you know, people do, like I say, you know, you talk the talk, and eventually you have to walk the walk. Now, there are times in which you may have the best of intentions. And, again, life happens. And you may not be able to, you know, kind of fulfill, you know, some obligations that happen, you know, and you can't really, how can I say, you know, you can't necessarily chastise or belittle someone because they weren't able to necessarily fulfill an obligation that you kind of, you know, that you wanted them to fulfill. Life happens. Things happen. Let it go and move on. You know,
I think that's what chased my heart. Well, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, baby.
I think that's one of the things that chased my heart is whenever something happens, you know, you got these people saying, you know what I'm saying, well, y'all say something about this, but y'all say something about that. Y'all should be doing this. Y'all should be doing that. Y'all don't say anything about that. I'm like, but you don't say shit about that stuff either. You don't do shit about that stuff either. You sit on Facebook and you talk just as much shit as everybody else. What gives you the right to tell me what I should be saying and what I should be talking about? You're thinking 9 times out of 10, the only reason you care about what you're talking about is because it feeds into some type of agenda you already have. You don't really care about the actual issue you're talking about.
So. Exactly. Exactly. They want to hear themselves talk. They, you know, especially the people that get on Facebook and get to spitting off all this BS just to see how many likes they can get and how many comments they can get, knowing they really don't give a damn about half the stuff that they're talking about, and most of the stuff they don't know what they're talking about. You know, I've kind of pulled back from Facebook. I find it as a means of entertainment and amusement, but I've kind of pulled back from it because, you know, these armchair, you know, prophets and prophetesses and, you know, revolutionaries and, you know, activists and all of that, I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it, and, you know, it starts to wear you down after a while, especially when you're trying to really do something for the community. You're really trying to put together a plan, and then you have these people over here that try to tear it down. You have these people over here, oh, we're going to help you, and then they disappear. So, you know, it's all good. You know, what works for you works for you, and I wish you the best with that, but it's a lot of things that need to be done. You know, again, we were talking about, you know, some things earlier. We need to talk about domestic violence. We need to talk about violence. It's the reason why I talk about mental health care issues. It's the reason why, you know, I talk about the different things that we talk about. We talk about depression. We talk about family secrets. We talk about apathy. There is a reason for it. It's not enough talk about this. We need to talk about it, but we also need to start implementing some programs. And if there are programs out there, we need to start directing people to those programs, which is what I try to do. And that's why, you know, I arm you guys with information, encourage you to go out there and read. I've had people share information with me that I didn't know, so I've learned and I've grown. And I just think it's important that we do that. And I also think it's important that we interact with the audience, like Mario said. Because even if you say something that I don't necessarily agree with, I want to hear what you have to say. You may not agree with it, but, you know, I want to hear it. And, you know, maybe I can teach you something. Maybe you can teach me something. And we go it, and we move on. You know, so anyway, love, hey, we are down to the last minute and a half of the show. And, you know, again, much love. You know, I thank Mario, I thank William, I thank Deborah, Nakomi, Raina, Alfred, everybody in the chat room, Miss Judy. You know, Judy does a lot of research for her. Much, much love. You know, we go through the list. We got Nate, Rob, Terry. You know, we got GE in the room. You know, a bunch of different people. You know, let's see, Lethal in the room, Gray, Grayless Hooks, and, you know, Dancer and, you know, Cuffy, thank you. Thank you. You know, because, you know, I just appreciate the support. So anyway, guys, we are Black Free Thinkers, damn it, and we are here to challenge you to think and live for yourself, not convert you. Have a very educational and uplifting week, guys. Do something for yourself, but most importantly, do something for someone who can't do anything for themselves. Much love, good night, and have a great rest of the weekend, honey. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Peace.